Lord, is so real. You're so real. You're everything we have need of. And Lord, we don't even come close to recognizing the depth of that statement, Lord. But Father, just come and show yourself to us more tonight than ever before, Lord. We just come humbly before you, say, Lord, take us tonight. Take us in your hands. Use us, Lord. Speak through us. Let us hear you. Let anoint our hearts to hear. And Lord Jesus, open our understanding so, Lord, we can walk from here knowing you in a greater way than we do now, Lord. Because we are completely helpless, Lord. We have no hope at all except through you. We come here, Lord Jesus, just to let you come and have your way. Oh, that you would be pleased to come down. We ask this in your name, Lord. Amen. If you want to turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah, the 29th chapter. Good to see you, Brother Wayne. It's been a while. Missed you. Amen. Jeremiah 29:11. I'm going to read you several verses here and be seated. Sister Jackson called and said they missed it because Brother Todd had some issues about forgetting church or something, so they would want to be here. They're not, you know, it's no problems with them. They just couldn't make it because of some issues, so they wish they were here. But anyways, just they're not having any health problems with some of those things. Verse 11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all of your heart. You may be seated. So search for me with all your heart. If you want to turn it to one more place, let's go to Hebrews 11 chapter. We're going to read one verse in Hebrews 11th chapter. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So tonight we want to pick up where we left off Sunday. It was all supposed to be one service. I ran out of time. Sunday we're talking about how God said all is well. I got this. Everything is in control. You don't have to worry. You don't have to fret. I'm going to take care of this. I'm going to make sure that you get what you need. I'm going to take care of all your needs. You're going. I'm taking you to the rapture. I know how to do it. You don't. So let me do it. Put your hand in mine and just let me lead you. So Brother Jim called me the other night. He said something like this. He said, you said Sunday that this church is going to be fine, right? I said, no, I didn't say that. I said, all is well. I said, if God wants to take this church and blow it up and send us all to all directions and split us all in 1,000 different directions, that's fine if that's his will, but all is still well. If that's what it takes to get us in the rapture, then blow this place up. Because what we want to do is go in the rapture. That's what matters. Nothing else matters. And I mean that. Nothing else matters. Now, I don't believe God's going to do that. I believe God has brought us here, and he's put us, gave a pastor, and he's doing everything here because he wants to take us out of this church and rapture us from here. That's what I believe. But how it looks from between now and then, I have no idea what it's going to look like. But I do know this. All is well. All is well. Boy, I like that. And so what we want to do is keep going from there. Is the next thought from that is, how do you know, if God says that, but how do you know personally that everything's going to be well? Because you can know that and hear it in your head and believe it in your head, but yet from your heart, there can still be doubts or not. If you're not born again, obviously. But Satan can come in, and it's got to be something that's anchored. And so what I want to speak on tonight is be certain of God. Brother Branham preached an amazing message. He preached, we must be certain of God as an individual. And he said, when you go and seek for me with all your heart, then you'll find me. And here's what I know from personal experience. I sought God with all of my ability. Based on my religious idea of who God was. my religious idea of how you're supposed to seek God. And I gave it my best shot. I was as sincere as I could get. I tried as hard as I could, and I didn't find him because I was still doing it with my own thought from up here. He didn't say, seek me with all your ability, you'll find him. He said, seek me with all your heart. And so what we have to do is we have to find out from our heart what God is and who he is and recognize that he is. Just that statement alone, God is. That's one of the most profound things a person can say. Because if God is, and this is the God we're talking about, the God of the Bible, then what else do we have need of? That's it. Everything comes back to that. Now you say a lot of people believe that God is. A lot of people are certain of God. The Muslims are certain of their God. They'll go blow themselves up. There's plenty of Christians, nominal Christians, not born again. They're certain of God, and they believe it to the death. So that's not what we're talking about. Just because, not be certain of your religion, not be certain of your idea who God is, but be certain of God himself. And that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Because what happens is Satan will come and bring all kinds of discouragement to get you focused on that and focused on that and focused on something else. But what we need to do is, from our hearts, seek God. Now, I'm not talking about go be a monk someplace and lock yourself in a closet for 30 days and go on a 40-day fast and all this stuff. That's not what I'm talking about. But there's got to be a way we can know. So let's look at this, what Brother Branham said. God could have chose to preach the gospel by the sun, by the moon, by the stars, by the wind, or by nature. God could have used anything to preach the gospel. He had to make a choice. Who's going to preach my gospel? But he chose man to preach the gospel. That was his choice. He never changed that. He didn't change it. People don't like that because they want to preach it, or they want to have a different way of getting the gospel. They want to do it through this way. They want to have this way. But God only uses man to preach the gospel. He said, and that's where the voice of God will come from. You want to hear the voice of God? Find your preacher. Find a preacher. But that's not it. That's not all. That's a start. There's a lot of men out there preaching who aren't preaching the gospel. They're preaching the message, their idea of the message. It ain't the real message, of course. But just because you find a preacher don't mean you're there yet. We just keep going. He says this. He says, that's where the voice of God will come from. And you can judge the voice according to the word it expresses. My. You judge the voice by the word it expresses. Expresses not just what I'm saying, but what is actually happening, what the word is expressing itself. If I get up here and preach and the word doesn't express what the word says it's supposed to express, I'm lying to you. There's something wrong. He said, then you can see what kind of a voice that you're listening to. If it's contrary to the word, don't listen to it. That's where it just blows my mind. People will come to a church and they'll sit there under a pastor. They don't have confidence what the preacher is saying. He said, if you don't have confidence, don't listen to it. If it's not expressing the word, don't listen to it. But if it is, you're obligated. Because that's God speaking to you. If it's contrary to the word, don't listen to it. But if it is the word, then God's duty bound to back that word up and vindicate it, make it truth, because he promised to do it. See, brother and sister, I don't have to come up and worry about what I say, because God gives me what to say. All I can do is come up and say it, and I walk away. If it happens or not, that ain't my problem. That's God's problem. It takes the stress right off of my shoulders. Like, oh, I preach that, and now what if God don't back it up? Well, then he lied to me. Because if I preach what he gave me to preach, he's obligated to back it up. If he says, call this person up and tell him this or something that, I can call him up and I can say, this is what God says, and I hang up the phone, I'm good. If I know that was the voice of God that I was listening to, that's the thing. I had to recognize the voice of God speaking to me so I know what to speak to you. Because a lot of times Satan will come with a voice and he makes it sound really close. He makes it sound real close. Hey, now this is what you should say, or you should preach this. And you know what? You know one of the ways you can tell the difference? The effect it has on my emotions. Yeah, I can't wait to get there. I got to burn Brother Paul. If that's what I want to do, I am wrong. If I can't wait to get up there and say, I'm going to put that person straight, see if they ever cross me again. You need to get me out of the pulpit. It's wrong. You can't have confidence in a ministry like that. He said, if it's the word, then God's duty bound to back that word and vindicate it and make it truth. What does that mean? It's got to happen. That's how you know, brothers. That's how you can be certain of God. When you hear that voice and you know it's speaking and you've heard that voice. I'm not talking about my personal voice or Brother Jerry's voice or Brother Brandon's voice. I'm talking about the voice of God and it speaks and you see it happen. Then you can be certain that God is. And he has rewarded those that diligently seek him. And if you take that word and you say, God, I'm holding on to that promise. That's what you gave me. That's the promise you gave me. And you hold on to that. God's duty bound to make that happen in your life. When he says you're going in the rapture, and you hold on to that one day, you're going in the rapture. I tell you what, when Satan comes to stir you up and try to get you all tore up about something, just hold that there. I'm going in the rapture. Brother Jim said a minute ago, he said, Satan come to him and give him a hard time. He said, hey, you're going to hell. I'm not. Tell him where he's telling where you're going. Why don't you tell him where he's going? You don't have to back down. You don't have to be intimidated by him. Well, he might give me a hard time. He better be giving you a hard time. If Satan ain't giving you a hard time, you're on the wrong terms with the devil. You better stir him up a little bit. Sometimes praying is what it takes. A lot of people are certain that they're certain of God. They'll die for their belief. They will do anything. But brother and sister, it's not based on the word happening. It's not based on the expression of the word. God vindicating it. It's not the voice they're certain of. He says this. He said, every genuine believer has to separate yourself from these doubters and unbelievers and walk with Christ. That's a hard thing to do when those doubters and unbelievers are our best friends or our family or whoever you go to church with. You see, daughters and unbelievers go to church. Maybe not here so much, but the churches are full of daughters and unbelievers, folks. God's got some of them out of here. Praise the Lord. It makes our services better. It hurts, too. Most of us have had family walk out of here. I'm not talking about this specific church, but to walk away from them. It ain't fun. He said, separate yourself from these doubters and unbelievers and walk with Christ. It's life to you. It's life to you. Why? Because Satan will use those doubters and unbelievers to give you a hard time. He will use them to affect you. He will use them to try to get you focused on something besides Christ. We were out there having lunch last Sunday, and Sister Jackson, she said that, Brother Neil said, well, you need to have... You know, when she traveled, she said, I have a tunnel vision. All you look down a tunnel, and all you see at the end is Christ. That's all you can do, because all these things beside you are just Satan trying to get your focus off of Christ. That's a really good idea, folks. Once this pops up, just keep focused on Christ. That pops up, keep focused on Christ. That's Satan's job, is to get us focused on these other things. He's good at it. That's why it's good if you have friends or someone who is influencing them away from Christ. Find new friends. You don't need them. They're not friends. I'm not talking about you have to go leave all the people you know, friends. I'm not saying you had to have just message believer friends, because sometimes those are the worst friends you can get. Just get the friends God gives you. God's given me a lot of what you call worldly friends. They've been good. I've had other people who message believers who have been not so good. So be with the friends. God will give you the right kind of friends. Just ask them for them. Abraham did such a thing. What did he do? He separated himself from unbelievers. He said 25 years later, we find him still believing the same promise. Why? He had focused his mind to the will of God by the word of God and believed it. That's as simple as it gets. He's a father of the faith. All he did is he heard the word of God. He focused his mind on that, and he kept walking in that. That's all it takes. Oh. If that would just settle into our hearts and from the heart come up and take control of my mind, all you have to do is hear the word of God and stay focused on that. And everything else is Satan trying to get your focus off of it. We'll talk about that Sunday, Lord willing. If we can focus ourselves to the plan of God, to what God wants for us and what God promised us, and let everything else alone, focus on what God wants for us, his plan, and let everything else alone, no matter how long it is, just keep believing. That's all he's asking for. He says, Romans 4:14, it said, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Talking about Abraham. He didn't let unbelief contaminate him at all. He didn't let unbelief contaminate him at all. And what happens is you're driving down the road, if you're like me, and Satan starts putting thoughts in your head and put this thoughts, and pretty soon he's got your mind contaminated, and he's trying to get you to think on this, and next thing you know, you start yourself getting all worked up. He says, stop, wait. No. That ain't the way I want to go. And you get your mind refocused. And sometimes it gets too strong and it's got you so tore up that you can't do that and you can't stop yourself. And that's when you need to be calling out to God in prayer and say, God, I need help. I can't help myself. This is too much for me. This burden is too heavy. I can't bear this. I can't deal this. This is too strong. But you've got to ask in faith, believing he'll do it. And he will. He will do it if you'll ask in faith, because he's not a liar. He said, he's talking about Abraham. He didn't let unbelief contaminate him at all. He looked to one thing that was the voice that spoke to him. That's it. That's when you can be certain of God, when you know God spoke to you. Not because you had a good feeling, not because you had this great sensation, because you got anointed, but when God spoke to you, and you hold on to that, then you can be certain of God from your heart, because it's been revealed to your heart, not just something in your head, but it's down here where it matters. You can be free. So that's what the church ought to do today. Look to the one thing, the voice, the word of God that speaks to us. Look to the voice, the word of God speaking to us. That's all that matters. He said churches and people can speak anyway, but look to the voice. We've sat in many, many churches. A lot of us have sat in many churches where we heard this speaking and that speaking. We've gone to revivals and camp meetings. We heard all kinds of voices, all kinds of preachers. Some of them were good and some of them weren't. But if we weren't even trained to listen to the voice of God, all we were listening to was just a good sermon. Boy, I was. Oh, I like to hear those good preaching, good sermon, and the anointing would come. We have a great service. And you could ask me afterward, what did God say? Well, I had to start saying what the minister said. Well, he said this, and this was really good, and he said this quote and all that. That ain't what he's talking about. What did God say to you? What did he say to you? Churches and people can say anyway, but look to the voice. What are we looking at? He looked to the voice that spoke to him. He called everything contrary to the word as though it wasn't. Think about it. Everything contrary to what God said, he called it wasn't. You're too old to have a baby. No, I'm not. Well, Sarah, definitely too old to have a baby. No, she's not. Well, what about, no. Well, Brother Phil, at this church right here, we need, no. Yeah, but don't, no. But no. No. Why? Because the voice didn't say that. If the voice said we needed that, then I'd say we needed it. But until the voice says we needed it, I'm not going to agree with you. Because he knows what you need. And sometimes what we need is not what we want. He's trying to get us to start being mature, to be grown up, to be soldiers, to press the battle no matter what happens around here. We have one focus, and that's the rapture. I'm not going to get tore up about this thing. I'm not going to get tore up about that. I'm going to go straight forward. And how do you learn to do that? By putting in situations where you that's all you can do? He says, yeah, but what about that? No. I don't care. He said he called everything contrary to that voice as though it wasn't. And yet, materially, it was as far out of focus with the world as Noah's time was. It was just as far out of focus. Isn't that amazing? Because see what happens is we get a focus. We're focused by what we think. Our religion focuses on something. And this is the kind of church we want. This kind of pastor we want. This is the kind of wife I want. This is the kind of kids I want. This is the kind of job I want. This is the way I want to be. This is the reputation I want. This is the job I want to do. I want all this kind of stuff. And we're focused on that. And he comes and just twists that and says, why don't you focus on this over here instead of all? But I want that. But there's Christ. It didn't make sense. Noah preached, it didn't make sense. The whole world would say, you need to focus on this. And he was renewed by the transforming of his mind to look at the word of God instead of what the world was telling him. They had all the evidence to prove he was lying, that it was not going to happen. He said, this is what I see. And they looked at him and said, you're weird. I'm preaching this Sunday too. He looked at them and said, I'd rather be weird than be like you, because I know where you're going. You're going to hell. Abraham looked at that promise and made everything else around him, science and everything, and said, you're whacked, Abraham. What do you think you're doing? And yet his vision was on what the voice had said to him. And there were the people looked at him, what is wrong with you? Let me keep going here. How Satan likes to throw this at you. Why, you're no better than you was when you were anointed. You're no better than you was when the preachers prayed for you. You ever do that? You get prayed for, you need something, and nothing happens, and the devil starts saying, you're no different. You haven't changed. You're not healed. It wasn't for you. You didn't have enough faith. Ram, 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 ram. Listen to this. He said, them preachers ain't right in the first place. Ever Satan tell you that? Well, that preacher was not a right preacher. He said, it doesn't matter about that preacher. Oh my, it doesn't matter about the preacher. It's your faith in the living God what counts. Don't go blaming somebody else. Don't go blaming the preacher. It's your faith is what counts. If you listen to a preacher that's not the voice of God speaking, then what's wrong with you? If you are listening to a voice of the word of God is speaking through him, then what's wrong with you? You can't blame it on someone else. You're not going to stand there on judgment and say, well, I'd have been saved if my pastor would have. Nope, ain't going to fly. You're still both going to hell. Your pastor was wrong, I'm saying. If he was right and you didn't make it, that's on you. It's not what the preacher is. It's what God is. The preacher never made the promise. God made the promise. My, that sets me free, folks. It's not me up here trying to convince you to believe something because I can make it happen. I can't make the word happen. Can you make the word happen? God promised it. All he wants you to do is take his word and walk in that promise. Don't be looking at the preacher. It's not what the preacher is, it's what God is. The preacher never made the promise, God made the promise. It's not up to the preacher. It's up to God and your faith to believe that it is God. So be certain of God. How do you do it? God uses the preacher to speak the word to you. You recognize it's the voice of God, and you don't let anyone take that away from you. God will come and speak something. We'll have a good service. And within a couple days, or maybe in that afternoon, Satan's already there picking at it, trying to get you to give it up, trying to get you this and this, and just doing everything to get you to lose your focus. Well, maybe it wasn't after all. Maybe that was just, maybe it wasn't. We We surrender our promises within hours after walking out of church sometime. He said, be certain of God, be certain it's God, that it's God's word, and God is in his word. That's all it takes. That's all it takes. Amen. It's not the preacher's fault. Not if he's saying what God told him to say. Let me read a little bit more here. Brother Branham says this. He said, you know, when we have confessed our sins and met every requirement that God requires, we believed on God. Their circumstances have to be met, and it's according to his will. So when we want something from God, God might have spoken to you and say, this is what I want you to do. This is what I need you to do. And you say, you know what? I just want to be a Christian without doing that. I'm going to seek God and find God and be born again besides not doing what God spoke and told me to do. You can't be certain of God. You're not seeking with your whole heart because you haven't surrendered everything to find God because you still want your own way. And God has spoken through this, over this pulpit, multiple times to many people, said, this is what's wrong. This is what you need to do. This is the attitude you need to have. You need to do this. And I've seen people sit there and refuse it and still trying to be a Christian and still trying to be born again and still trying to claim their testimony, knowing that God spoke to them to do a certain thing and they refused to do it. He said, you have to meet the circumstances according to his will. You're not going to, you might bounce around the bushes. You might go to church. You might do everything you want to do. But until you come his way, it ain't going to happen. He said, we've confessed our sins. We made all the wrong things that we did right, done everything we know how to do, every requirement that God has made or asked, we have met that requirement, and yet he lies silent. He just won't answer us. Oh, this gets me excited. Because you know what I'm talking about. You have been there. You have done all you can. You sought God. You prayed, and you've asked him for something, or you needed some kind of whatever it is. You're just quiet. Need an experience with God. He's just quiet. When I say experience, I'm not talking about you have to come to the altar and have some kind of anointing or baptism or something like that. You have experience with God all day long, all every day if you want to. Let me tell you what happened to me Tuesday night. I was at home. It's kind of late. I was about ready to go to bed, but I was praying. I said, I just want to pray a little bit. And it was like just bouncing off the walls. It's nothing. Just nothing. You know, you kind of like, you know, you get this sense of, you know, that communion with God and you know, that oneness and all. And it was just like nothing. Satan's all, well, you're not going to happen tonight. Might as well just quit. And so, you know, you press on a little bit and you know, kind of just, he's listening. You know he hears you. It's not like if you say, you know, I used to, well, just say the right words. Maybe you just talk. And after a while, he said, you're just living what you're going to have to preach on Thursday night. So, okay, that's fine then. That was an experience with God. He would say, I'm not going to speak to you right now. I'm not going to be with you. You're going to be like this because Thursday night, you're going to get up and preach about what you're going through right now. That's all it took, and I was good to go. He said, if that's what, fine, don't talk to me. This is good. Oh, man. He said, when I went back and traced my life and turned over every stone, I find out what I did something wrong. I go and confess, say, Lord God, I'll make it right. And I go do it. Then come back again and say, now, Lord, thou art God. You'll answer me. Surely I've met every request that you required me to do, every requirement I have met. He still won't move, seems to sit silent. And when you've got to be sure, he said, that's when you've got to be sure he is God. Don't get discouraged. The only thing is that in your heart, be certain of God. Don't get discouraged. He hears you. He hears you. No matter what prayer you're praying, he hears you. It doesn't matter if you feel it or if you can sense his presence. It has nothing to do with it. He hears when you're praying. Sometime when I'm praying and I'm ready to get discouraged, I had to go to that, because one time when Brother Darrell Ward is here preaching, and God spoke to me when he was preaching and said, I hear your prayer. Remember that. And sometime when you're praying and nothing seems to be happening, and I say, God, I know you hear me because you told me you did. So what else can I do? See, well, that's what Satan wants to do, is get you to think, oh, you might as well forget it. He's not listening. You grieved him away. No, you didn't. If you did, you repent. He'll let you know if you need to repent. If he don't let you know, don't listen to Satan's condemnation. He's trying to say, grow up, my little children. Grow up. I want to give you the whole kingdom. It's my pleasure to give you the kingdom, but I got to have you grown up. So when things are going on, you just keep walking in faith and let your faith muscles grow. He said, my text, be certain before you do anything, be certain in your heart that it's God. Before you do anything, make sure it's God. People get a little impulse, a little thought, and they run out and do this, and they run out and do that, and it wasn't God, but it was just Satan trying to pretend it was God, and they didn't stay and wait to find out God's perfect will. He said, when you've met everything he said, make sure that you know it's God. That's when faith goes to work right there. Faith stands steady, for it knows that he is, and you met every requirement. You believe that he is, and faith holds steady. Faith won't move, for it's sure that God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Faith stands steady. Satan wants to get you tore up, and he wants you to go run off chasing this and go run after that. And faith just stay there and says, no, I know this is what God asked me to do. Yeah, but Brother Phil, what about the church? Not my problem. Brother Phil, you're the associate pastor. Yep. Church is his problem. It ain't my problem. What am I going to do, take over and run it? What if Brother Jerry Kennedy said, I'm going to run this church? I'd be one of the first ones hitting for the door. I don't want Brother Jerry running this church. Definitely don't want me running church. I don't want anyone else. I want Jesus Christ running this church. That's what we want, and he is. How do you know? Because I can see the evidence right here. People standing steady, just standing like a rock. This is hitting against them, that's hitting against them. They just stand there and say, I'm going on. Boy, that excites me, folks. Say, well, are we going to see miracles? What about this? You know, we need to see more power. Power? What kind of power are you talking about? You know what kind of power it takes to stand there in the face of all the junk that's hitting you and you stand steady? What more do you want? That's what puts you in the rapture. Sometimes we need to be renewed in our mind. May this go way down and never move from you, Branham Tabernacle. May this go way down and never move from you, Bible Believers Tabernacle. If you've met God's requirement, and in your heart you believe that he is, God is. God's only testing your faith, for he loves to do that. He loves to do that. You confess your sin, you've met every requirement that God requires, still he lays silent. Remember, faith says that he is. Then faith holds on to it, not knowing what it's all about, but it knows that he is, and it's certain that he is. Sometimes we don't know what it's all about. What's this trial about? Why are you being silent? What's this all about? You don't know, but yet you stay there. You stand steady. He loves to do that. He loves to test you. He loves to do it. Because this whole time, you know what Satan's been saying since you've been born? He says, I'll get that one too. They don't really love you. And then you stand there in faith and believing and loving. He says, Satan, see that? Now what you got to say? And we're all there like, oh, getting all tore up about it. God, I don't know what to do. Look, if your trial didn't take you to the edge, it's not much of a trial. We want little trials where we just kind of like, poof, be gone. But their trial's got to be something that gets us to a point where it's like, you know, that desperation place. How are you going to handle this? What are you going to do? What about this? What about that? And he says, what are you going to do? You're going to stand steady and just rest. Remember, if he is, his word has to be true. And if he required you to meet these circumstances and you did, he's obligated to take care of his word. He's obligated to his word. Don't back off and say, oh, I never got healed. Oh, you poor, weak faith. Don't believe that. If everything's confessed, everything's out, and you met God's requirement, faith holds right there. There's nothing will move it. He is, and you're sure. It says, wait. When you met his requirements, that brings your faith to a showdown. If God's requirements have been met and you have fully considered it, you have done everything God required you to do, then your faith rests right there. Be certain of God. Let me read this one more quote here if I can find it. He says, you know he loves to test us. He loves to see the reaction of your faith. Did you know that? God likes to see how you'll react. He likes to see how you react, especially when you overcome something that you used to fall to. He overcomes when you used to get discouraged and you don't get discouraged anymore. When you used to get tore up about that and you don't get tore up anymore. When you used to have to run your mouth to somebody, you don't run your mouth anymore. He says, that's what I'm looking for. There's my kids. It's just that simple. How much more power do you want? What more do you want than just to stand in faith and take God at his word? Everything else doesn't matter if you can't do that. God speaks, I want you to do that. He said, okay, I want to do that. But he said, do that. Some of you know what I'm talking about. When you say, oh, Lord, I believe you. Thou art my Savior. I believe that you are the healer. I believe that you are the one who gives that, who gives the Holy Spirit. And the thing that I'm requiring, you are the God who gives that. And then when you confess all your sin and promise God what you'll do if he'll let you get well, and then because it doesn't happen, you run off like a coward. Oh, my. Run off like a coward. Well, I guess it's not for me. Maybe I just can't live this. Maybe the Holy Ghost isn't for me. I guess maybe I'm just not called. You're right. You're not. Not with that kind of attitude. Not with that kind of attitude. You run off like a coward somewhere. God can't use that. There's no way for him to use you. There's no way for him to answer you because he only answers by faith. You know what God wants to do when he does something for you? You know what he wants you to do? He wants you to tell people. He wants you to witness that there is a living God. Is that right, Brother Jim? And just as Brother Jim, it gives him the greatest joy witnessing than almost better than being healed. Because he can tell you there is a living God. There is a God who is real. God is, and he has rewarded those that diligently seek him. And I'm a witness. I'm a proof. I'm standing before you as a living testimony of this. Can't run off like a coward. Things don't go your way. He said, but then all of a sudden you go away. He can't answer. Real true faith stands there being sure that God is. Be certain that he is. If God asks this thing to be done, to confess your sin and so forth, you've done it. Faith says that he is certain that it's going to happen. Your request has to be granted. Oh, I hope you don't miss that. If you're sure of God, God's sure of his word. He's only waiting to test you. The test. Will you be certain of God? Will you stand there in faith? Will you stand firm? Will you take what God said on Sunday and said, all is well? He said, I'll take care of you. Will you take that word and stand on that? What will you do? He's just testing us. But I don't see, it's not, like he said a minute ago, he said, you don't know what it's for sometimes. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. You don't know why this is happening here because it's all working over something over here and something over working out that way or something. We don't know these things. Sometimes he tells us some things, sometimes he doesn't. And all he's saying is, will you just trust me? Are you sure that you trust me? Are you sure that I am? He said, yeah, I believe you. This is what he said, and I believe that. He says, that's all I'm asking for, man. That's all. Amen. Let's stand. Lord willing, Sunday we're going to pick up. We'll have stopped here. Go back and cover some things. I'm excited about Sunday. I have to tell you the truth. I can't wait. I like coming to church, Brother Paul. I like coming to church. It's good for me. It's good for me. Never know what God's going to say, what he's going to do.